Let's pray. Father God, as we seek to hear your voice through your word this morning, we ask for your Holy Spirit to be present here among us now, that our hearts and minds might be open to the truth of your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Please sit. So today we're continuing with the series entitled, I'm Glad You Asked That. And we're looking at trying to answer some of the more difficult questions that we as Christians are faced with. And today's question is, what does the Bible say about contacting the dead? Well, I have to confess that when Peter first asked me to speak on that subject, my first response wasn't, I'm glad you asked that. It was more, oh, yeah, okay, but that's a very difficult subject. Difficult not least because if we're going to talk about contacting the dead, we really have to talk about death. The very word death can provoke a very emotional response in us. We might feel fear, sadness, or when our thoughts turn to the death of our loved ones, we feel pain, real pain. It's hard. And when we lose someone so dear to us, of course we keep our love for them in our hearts. We think of them often. And as Christians, our prayer is that we will know God's comfort until we see them again in God's heavenly kingdom. So before we look at our question, what does the Bible say about contacting the dead? I'm going to ask another question. Why would anyone want to? Some of us might be among those who find the whole process of letting go just too difficult. We might be tempted to speak to our deceased loved ones, to ask them questions, for example, where are you now? Are you all right? Can you hear me? Can you see me? What's it like where you are? But these kinds of questions are really at best demonstrating the difficulty that we have in letting them go. And if we're to be at peace, and if they're to be at peace, we must let them go. And at worst, those sorts of questions, what's it like where you are? Are you all right still? Can you hear me? It's almost like a yearning to know the unknowable. There's only one, of course, with that kind of supreme knowledge, and that's God himself. And do we really want to know the answers to those questions? Could our minds cope with that sort of knowledge? Look what happened when Adam and Eve ate the fruit of the tree of knowledge, that forbidden fruit. It had disastrous consequences for all humankind. We suffer death because of that. Will we never learn? But you might say, actually, that's not really contacting the dead. Surely contacting the dead is something done by mediums, by clairvoyants, by spiritualists. And you might have heard plenty of stories about messages received from the spirits through Ouija boards, seances, you know, the darkened room. Is there anybody out there? Well, we all heard that. It must be true. You heard the tap. I'm making a bit of a joke of it because actually it is a bit of a joke, isn't it? We all know that it's not real. These people are frauds. They're con artists. They prey on vulnerable people, on the impressionable, on the brokenhearted. And there have been plenty of studies carried out to see if these things are actually true. But no one's ever been able to prove that they're authentic at all. So what's the harm in it, actually? Nowadays, it's quite a source of entertainment. I've got a friend who, when her son was about 3, she was on the committee of her toddler group. And as ever, they were trying to find new fundraising ideas. One idea that came up was to hold a clairvoyant evening. And my friend told me how, when the idea was discussed, there was a little buzz of excitement in the room. Oh, yes, clairvoyant. You could charge £10 for a ticket, serve refreshments, and we could see what happens. My friend found all this quite disturbing. We prayed about that situation over the next few weeks, and I'm happy to say that in the end, the evening never went ahead. There wasn't enough support to be able to afford to pay the clairvoyant. It's telling in itself, isn't it? For £15, you can go to the theatre for an evening's entertainment with a clairvoyant. In our local paper, Bury Free Press, Anglia Events advertise clairvoyant nights alongside wedding shows and golf days. And if you Google clairvoyant medium, you have instant access to 2,140,000 sites. I have a horrible feeling that there wouldn't be so many if it wasn't so popular. But it's not a new phenomenon. Spiritism's been around for a very long time. You might remember reading in the book of Exodus about the magicians who were advisors to Pharaoh in ancient Egypt. Or in 1 Samuel, the story about King Saul employing the witch of Endor to summon the spirit of Samuel and find out about his future. Or, jumping to the New Testament, Simon the sorcerer, who tried to buy the power of the Holy Spirit. Back to the 21st century, we have so-called spiritualist churches, led by the Reverend this and the Reverend that, blurring the lines, sounding acceptable. Much of what passes as spiritism today is hoax, and has been exposed as being fraudulent. And many of us might think it is enough to dismiss that sort of thing as being false. It's just harmless fun, so we'll simply ignore it. But behind the facade of what can often be false, there is a very real spiritual world. Could this be one of the greatest deceits of the devil? Satan is a master of deceiving people into doing things that look innocent and fun in order to wheedle his way in. Such activities may seem like harmless entertainment, but we have to remember that the spiritual world is as real as our physical world. We believe in the Holy Spirit. Praise God if we individually have felt the presence of the Holy Spirit working in our own lives. But people who dabble in the spiritual world, in communicating with the spiritual world, are making an invitation to other spirits to enter our world, to enter our lives. Does that make you uncomfortable? It does me. Frankly, I find it quite terrifying. So let's go back to our original question. What does the Bible say about contacting the dead? It actually says an awful lot. God does not remain silent on this matter. In Isaiah chapter 8, we read of people who consult the dead on behalf of the living. Isaiah says of them, "They have no light of dawn. They will look towards the earth and see only distress and darkness and fearful gloom." And we heard in our reading earlier from Deuteronomy chapter 18, a list of practices which are detestable to the Lord, including anyone who is a medium or spiritist or who consults the dead. Detestable to the Lord. In some translations, the word used is an abomination. And again, in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 31, we read, "Do not turn to mediums or seek out spiritists, for you will be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God." Pretty clear, isn't it? God detests those who dabble in those practices as much as those who actually practice them. The consequences for those who don't turn away from that and don't begin to listen to God, consequences are dreadful. Look at the examples I gave you earlier of people in the Bible who had dabbled. King Saul, he was cut off from God forever, ended dying by his own hand. Simon, the sorcerer, who, despite being baptized, he was recognized by Peter as having a heart that was not right before God. He was full of bitterness and captive to sin. So as believers, we need to be very careful about what we open our minds to. Every time the dark side of the supernatural world is presented as harmless or even imaginary, there's a real danger that we will become curious and find out too late that it's neither harmless nor imaginary. It might be that there is somebody here this morning who has dabbled in the past, who's acted unwisely in these matters. But if that's the case, don't worry. It's important to remember that we do have an all-loving, compassionate, and forgiving God. He doesn't want us to dwell on guilt for anything that we might have done in our past. He simply wants us to come into his presence, to stop doing anything he says is unwise, and instead to listen to his voice. We're human. It's a battle. But we're not fighting this battle against the powers of darkness alone. God's on our side. God hasn't revealed to us through Scripture only what we shouldn't do and how dangerous it is. There's also a lot of help for us in here and sound guidance. Our first clue about this comes at the end of the reading we heard from Deuteronomy this morning. Deuteronomy, by the way, right from chapter 5, gives an account of the laws of God, of instructions on how to live, that Moses is passing on to the people of Israel. And he finishes with all those instructions against the detestable practices that we heard earlier. But the final instruction is this, chapter 18, verse 15. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your own brothers. You must listen to him. So God is telling them that they mustn't look to mediums or spiritists and such for information, guidance, revelation, but instead look to him. Moses was referring to the succession of prophets that would come after him. And most importantly for us, it was the basis for messianic fulfillment, for messianic expectation, fulfilled, of course, in Jesus. We have Jesus to approach. We have Jesus to listen to. And God does still speak to us today, perhaps not through direct revelation, but through the Holy Scripture, through the Gospel. So we've seen that the Bible says that we shouldn't contact the dead, but these are dark times when contacting the dead has become socially acceptable as an enjoyable pastime. It's not enough to dismiss these things as hoaxes. These practices are harmful. In our baptism, we promise to fight valiantly against sin, the world, and the devil. It's quite a challenge, isn't it? But we needn't be afraid. The Bible also gives us tremendous reassurance, gives us encouragement, gives us practical advice. Couldn't be clearer anywhere than in Ephesians, where we're told in chapter 6, verse 10, be strong in the Lord, put on the full armour of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the dark powers of this world. Our armour is the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. We can't fight valiantly against sin, the world, and the devil alone, because our human effort is inadequate. But God's power is invincible. God has power over death itself. We know this to be true. We heard an account of the resurrection of Jesus Christ in our gospel this morning. Jesus, who suffered death and rose again from the dead. Jesus, who conquered death so that we can live in eternity with our loved ones, with God forever. Jesus, who has clothed us with the armour of God, Jesus is the light and the life. Why would we dabble in dark things when we've seen the light? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that because of your great love for us, you sent your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to suffer our sins upon himself and so win for us the victory over death. Help us to keep turning to you and to listen to your voice always and no other. Help us to remember always to clothe ourselves in your armour so that we can walk confidently in the way of light that you have set before us. In Jesus' name, Amen.